Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Oh, hi. If you like this show, will you leave a review for it wherever you listen to podcasts? You don't even have to write anything. Just some stars will do. It's one of the most effective ways to spread the word about us and one of the most meaningful ways to show your support for what we do. We are so grateful. Okay, here's the show. Welcome to A Thing or Two, a deep dive into stuff we think more people should know about. I'm Claire Mazur.
And I'm Erica Cerullo. If you want more where this came from and want to support us in general, head to athingortwohq.com and sign up for Secret Menu, which will get you weekly access to members-only content.
To share your thoughts on this episode or anything at all, leave us a voicemail at 833-632-5463 or DM us on Instagram at athingortwohq. Hey, this episode is brought to you by Neushof Bazaar, which is a very hip resale site that you definitely need to know about. I say that, but I actually think a lot of our audience probably already knows about them because they're very, A, our audience is very in the know. B, Neushof Bazaar is like squarely in our demo. It is resale of just cool, hip indie brands, a ton of brands that we used to sell on Of A Kind.
It's things you maybe even discovered resale on Of A Kind.
Yes. Yeah. Tons of Ace and Jig, Deuce and Deucin, stuff like that. Like, and you can find, and one of the things that we talk about with Kate, the founder of Neushof, is how you can find people's apparel line from like designers who don't make apparel anymore, like Mosien and Deuce and Deucin and stuff like that, where you're like, oh, right, Deuce and Deucin used to make clothes and doesn't really do that anymore. And you can find this stuff on there.
Remember that little fit and flare dress you would wear all the time from Deuce and Deucin that was so good?
Do I remember?
Maybe it's on Neushof Bazaar.
Maybe.
Can I talk to you about something first, though?
Yes.
Corn nuts. Corn nuts. I have been having a big corn nut snacking moment.
Have you?
I just feel like they're a bit underappreciated. It feels like...
Well, their branding didn't do them any favors in the
90s. What, corn nuts? Corn nuts? Well, is it...
But like, is Corn Nuts like Kleenex, where it's like the brand, and then we all just called them that?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes.
But then, are they called that on Wikipedia though? Like, Corn Nut is the Wikipedia entry, also known as toasted corn. But I was like, under the impression that it was like Doritos, where it's like a brand.
It is. It is.
Yeah. No. Cornnuts.com.
Yeah. Like Corn Nuts. Corn Nuts is both the proper noun and the improper noun. What's the common noun?
They do not even seem to have a parent company. This just seems to be their own.
They don't need a parent.
Just single product, multivariant company. About us. Since 1939.
Yeah, this is a big, this is how long they've been underappreciated. This is how long.
For a company that has an About Us page, they give us very little information about them.
Claire, I would have to say I'm finding that more and more with companies where I go to the About Us page or our story, and I look at the Our Story and it's like, we stand for authenticity. I'm like, that is not your story.
On a road trip, watching the game, playing games, or as you write the About Us section of a website, there's never a wrong time to crunch on some corn nuts, crunchy corn snacks. It's like they know. They're in on the joke. They're
like, we're absolutely not. And I like it.
We're telling you nothing about us.
This is one more thing I like about corn nuts, turns out.
Well, I don't want to say that we predicted this, but I could see us at some point having said corn nuts are due for a renaissance. It just feels like part of the fancy snacks era.
The thing for me that works so well about them is that they are like halfway between nuts, chips, and popcorn. Mm. Or not halfway. What's halfway? Like they triangulate those three things?
They're like a love child of all of them. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. If nuts, chips, and popcorn had a threesome, you'd get corn nuts.
And one of them got impregnated. Yeah. I'm with you. I mean, they're great. I want to say I don't find them as satisfying as most snacks, but that's kind of good because you don't go overboard.
That is why I think they make a really nice cocktail snack because they are very crunchy and they hold flavor very well. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to like, I'm never going to eat a whole bag of corn nuts just because it just feels like a lot. Like I get over them fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. But when you're having a drink or whatever, like
you just want
like,
something.
Yeah, you want something like truly just like munchy. This does it for me.
I agree with that.
It really does it. I also started thinking about how I should be using them as a crouton alt.
Now that is an idea.
Like in a salad or you know what I saw? Like in a tortilla soup or something.
Great idea. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Love that.
Don't you? Don't you? A chowder? No, a chowder? Yeah. Throw these in.
Yeah. Oh, I could absolutely see that. And it would really hold its form.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes a lot to like break through a corn nut.
Yeah, for sure. I was like, I have no idea how you actually make a corn nut. So I looked this up. Corn nuts are prepared by soaking whole corn kernels in water for 3 days, then deep frying them in oil until they are hard and brittle. The kernels are soaked because they shrink during the harvesting and cleaning process, and rehydration returns them to their original size, which makes sense because if you think about it, it's so much bigger than a popcorn kernel.
Yes, yes, yes. According to an article on Greatest, their earliest ancestor was parched corn, which is a Native American preparation of dried and roasted corn kernels that is both nutritionally dense and light to carry. Mm. People packed these with them on the Oregon Trail. Again, talk about 90s nostalgia. What is more 90s nostalgia than the Oregon Trail? But they'd use them to make soup more than they use them for munching.
Okay.
And then during the Civil War, there was like something in this vein of this like parched corn universe that was eaten dry. Parched corn is also mentioned in the third book of Little House on the Prairie series on the banks of Plum Creek. And you know the food references in those books are phenomenal. I mean, that pigtail.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
Should we talk about our guest before we bring her on?
Yes, let's.
So Caitlin Dello is the founder of Noisoff Bazaar. She's based in Duluth, Minnesota. And the site it's just like so smart. It's curated by real people with excellent taste. It features all the sorts of designers that we really care about, like Ace and Jig and Baba and Lem Lem and Ray. And Kate started her business nearly 10 years ago when she was dealing with postpartum depression. And it was a freezing, freezing winter. And she started selling her own pieces on Instagram. And then earlier this year, so like a full like 9 years after doing this on Instagram, she built out a full-blown e-com experience. So in addition to clothes for us, they have home goods, they have kids' clothes. It is just a joy. And you can join their community of buyers and sellers at noisafbazaar.com. It's fashion backwards, bazaar.com. Mm-hmm.
Bazaar like Harper's Bazaar, not like bazaar like weird.
Bazaar like the chic bazaar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's bring Kate on.
Hi, Kate. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my God, we're so excited.
I just on a personal level have a ton of very nosy questions about Noisoff because
I love it.
I also just want to say that Isabel Halley years ago, ceramicist who we worked with at Of a Kind, introduced me to this thing. I think it was we both had kids around the same time and she was like, you have to look for baby clothes on Noisoff, but you have to promise me you won't tell people about it. She was like, don't go running your mouth about it because it's hard to get the stuff you want. And it was sort of like how I run my mouth about a lot of things, but I do have, I understand that feeling of ownership where you're like, where there's only one of something and I can't have everybody finding out about it and then them, and then having even more competition for this thing. It was like fashion's best kept secret for a very long time. Now the word is out.
What you did is you now made a website that has the opportunity for there to be more things for more people. And so we don't have to be quiet about it anymore.
Right. Yeah. From an accessibility standpoint, you know, we have more to offer there. But I just want to say that I've been such a fan girl for you both from the Of a Kind days. And just, you know, it really, Noisoff has been, you know, an inception of those early days of the blogger days and Of a Kind. So it's such an honor to be here today.
That's really nice thing to say.
I was saying to you before we started recording that I just feel like we talk about resale and we talk about shopping vintage and just being really thoughtful about consumption on this podcast and our newsletter pretty regularly. And I feel like Neushoff is really the intersection of all of that and the of a kind independent designer and like wanting to have that special sense of discovery. It's like that magical thing that we are always searching for. And it's just right here. It's just right here with good UX and good design and just a delightful experience.
That warms my heart. Thank you.
Can you explain exactly how it works?
Yes. So Neushoff Bazaar, it's Neushoff is fashion backwards, kind of that aha moment when people figure that out. It's a resale site that, you know, originated from this robust Instagram community that was built the last 9 years. And we recently, this last February, launched our own site, NeushoffBazaar.com. And it's a curated resale site that's focused on independent and emerging designers, but we also have a vintage channel, a kids channel, a home channel. But our kind of our full focus is more the resale of these emerging designers. And that's kind of what it started off as and been our focus.
And are people listing the items themselves or they're sending them to you and you are listing them and then they're shipping them directly?
It works is it's peer-to-peer, much like Poshmark is, except it's curated. So every time an item is submitted, our curators go through each and every item and decide whether or not it will be listed for sale. If it's accepted, it'll go into your Neushoff shop. And if it sells, we take a selling fee and you ship it off to the buyer.
Love it. What made you interested in resale as a business?
So the resale market has been, you know, really robust in the last 9 or so years. But when I started the handle in 2013, I'm living in Duluth, Minnesota, which is not the fashion capital of the world whatsoever. But I had this really deep love for shopping in boutiques online. So I had a closet of really nice items that, you know, my only option was to go to a local consignment shop, which would have no idea who like Elena Cohn and Rachel Comey are, or eBay. And then The RealReal merged with Poshmark, but that didn't feel like such a good fit either. And these clothes have a story to tell and they were made by these amazing individuals. So I wanted them to be appreciated as much as I appreciated them. It wasn't necessarily like making money, but I wanted it to fall in the right hands of someone who, you know, would take care of the garment or appreciate it. And so resale just seemed like it wasn't being utilized at all at Instagram at the time. It was 2013, so Instagram wasn't used for shopping whatsoever.
Can you imagine like that was?
No.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, it's like I just came in at the right time. And I honestly think Neushoff was one of the original resale shops that emerged during that time. And so we really built this organic community out of it. But resale to me has always been just an accessible way to get some of these items and to pass it on to people who would appreciate it. Living in Duluth, I really love putting my money where my mouth is and just my ideals and ethics behind what I buy and what I purchase and who I support has always been really, you know, a big side of how I consume. So it just seemed like a natural thing to be like, well, I can take a picture of it and post it on Instagram and, you know, let this community of like-minded folks have an option to buy it.
It's so interesting what you said about that feeling of wanting a piece to go to somebody who would appreciate it and for them and like that there is a story behind it. Because I find myself really struggling with that when I'm deciding what to do with things. It's not about making money necessarily. It's just that like I want wherever it goes, it should still have a life and it should still have
you want to like rehome it.
You want to rehome it.
It's not like reselling it. It's like giving it. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, and there are of course those pieces where you're like, this is this gem that I'm going to give to Goodwill and someone hopefully will find it and appreciate it. But there are those pieces where you're like, if I give this to Goodwill, I know it's not going to find the home that it deserves and I want it to find that home. And then there are those pieces where you sell because you're just like, I just want money for this thing. But there is that really specific niche that Neushoff fills where you're like, I want this to go to someone or just like go out into a community of people who will understand it and appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people not only use Neushoff to buy and sell, but they use it as a tool for discovering these designers.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, that's been something we hear from the community all the time, that they peruse our brand list just to see and discover these really cool independent designers that they're not going to find on the resale sites or get lost in the abyss of these bigger.
That's super markets. Interesting too, just because we're now starting to see a resurgence, but we had a real death of the multi-brand retailer, especially in the indie design space. And now I think you're starting to get a few more of them, but it does feel like Noisoff and other resale sites, that's like one place where you do still have a multi-brand shopping experience.
Well, and your brand page is so well done in that you flagged which brands are women-owned, which brands are size-inclusive, which brands are BIPOC-owned, which is what all retailers really should be doing at this point. Like, let people shop the way they want to be shopping, let people support businesses the way they want to be supporting businesses. And it's useful and fascinating.
Yeah. I'm so glad you like it. Yeah. And, you know, we love independent designers and we are asked quite a bit, like, well, how do brands feel about you? But
that was going to be my next question, because
I would say, like, we have never had a brand push back. If anything, they've really been supportive and very appreciative of what we're doing, because we're an introduction. We're a stepping stone to a customer's first purchase sometimes, especially when that customer maybe doesn't want to pay full price for an item.
Or maybe can't at this point.
Or maybe can't, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe they just, you know, they know that if they buy something from this designer that they can't return, they can resell it on Noisoff. And that's something we're actually going to expand into 2023, is building some brand partnerships out on our site. So I'm really excited for that too.
Well, because there are a lot of brands in your space that I think really see the value in having a secondary market for their clothes, right? Like Ace and Jig really cultivates this on their own. I think Baba is really supportive of it. Doen, like, these are brands who see, I think, one, just the value for their customers, the value of clothes staying in circulation and not just going into landfills. But there is also just, I think, from a business perspective, in the same way you have with art, like, there is a real value in these clothes having a continued value beyond just with their first owner. Like, right, that's good for a brand that people are in search of the missing piece from their collection, that it's coveted, that this is something that isn't just relevant when it's in season. That's something really specific and exciting for a company, for a business.
And I think these brands are the types that have really strong aesthetics that aren't so trend driven, that you could find the perfect, you know, Elena Cohen piece from 7 years ago that is like what you're looking for right now.
Yeah.
And that's
and people
cool.
will know what that is. They'll be like, oh, like, super excited. Like, when I see a Motion article of clothing come in, you know, I'm immediately. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You're like, before the jewelry line, there was this.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was, she had a clothing line. Like, mm-hmm. some people, you know, if you know, type of thing, you know, people get really excited about that, which makes me really excited because, you know, that time was so vital to like how Noisoff was started.
What have been some of the surprises of taking this from Instagram to, you know, a full-fledged e-commerce business?
There's been a lot of surprises. You know, I don't have a tech background at all. I went to school for pre-law, environmental, political science. So coming to the decision of having to either quit doing Noisoff altogether or pursuing it was, it took many years. I operated this thing with my thumbs for 9 years on Instagram. Eventually, I did have like a team also using their thumbs.
But it was a completely thumb-run business for nine years.
It was a completely thumb-run business. Like, I literally sent my employees like thumb massagers when they got hired. It was insane what we were doing. But I always say it's going to be like the greatest thing I've ever done, or like the fucking dumbest thing I've ever done with my time.
Door number one. Door number one, for sure.
Yeah. So I had to make the leap of pursuing it. And then again, being in Duluth, we're not like a tech capital either. So I don't know how the website is built. Obviously, it's very complex when it comes to different users and experiences. So it took me, you know, a few years to be like, okay, I'm gonna build out this website, because also Instagram was morphing into its own thing. And I knew it was time, and we were going to be sustainable operating on Instagram. And so I had, you know, two really big hurdles to jump. One, how do I build a tech company from Duluth, Minnesota during a pandemic? Two, how do I get my community, who has been with us for 9 years on their phones, on Instagram, to go to a website to do this? And so it was really scary, but
our community was so supportive. I would say the majority of people saw, you know, that eventually, you know, it was not sustainable on Instagram nor like healthy. And we needed autonomy and we needed our own home. So communicating that with our community, I think really resonated and they understood. And what was helpful, but also a huge headache for us, was a year ago, Instagram started removing all of our posts and flagging them as obscene.
What?
So we were like abruptly shut down. I mean, they had bugs. I had someone on Instagram trying to help me and they were like, we don't know what's going on. And then it slowly trickled to all of our channels. And so we couldn't post anything. And our community was livid. And they were like, what's going on? And then, you know, we were thankfully able to communicate in our Instagram stories. Somehow we weren't able to post on our feed what was happening. And so they really rallied behind the idea, like, okay, it is time. Like, let's get this website going. You know, I need my noise hub fixed. Like, there's not an alternative. And so that was really huge for us, even though it was a devastating blow at the time. I had to lay off my entire team. We didn't have income November through January. And then we launched in February. And then it was like a whole new system that we had to get our community on board with. Like, hey, we have to charge a higher fee. We have legit hard costs right now that we have to cover. Turns out launching a tech resale company is very expensive. And there's a lot of, you know, third parties that we have to pay now, because it was all goodwill. The last 9 years prior to our website was all goodwill. But I would say we have been successful for sure in getting our community over to the new website. And now we're working on getting, you know, growing that community and getting new eyeballs out. And we've never marketed in our lives before. So now we're starting to do fun things like go on podcasts and you know, do some paid advertising and, you know, events, hopefully. And yeah, launched a newsletter, kind of doing all the things. And it feels just so nice to have our own home. So nice.
What are your tips for people looking to get into buying resale? What should they be looking for? Or what should they be paying attention to when pulling the trigger?
You know, I think just the user experience, which we really wanted to create our site in general to be aesthetically pleasing. That was like where I started from day one when I decided we're going to launch NoiseHuff. Like, I want the user experience to feel really good, to have maybe a glimpse into who you're buying from. So like right now, if you have a NoiseHuff shop, you can like design your own banner, you know, like we wanted to put in this like fun little color type banner that you can design. I think always having some relationship or getting a clue of like who you're buying from is good. And we try to do that as much as we can on NoiseHuff by highlighting different sellers and shops, just making sure you have all the information. And anytime you buy secondhand, for me, I want to know, you know, if the item's been washed or how it's been cared for. The exact measurements, which we require, is so many times you know, if you go on these other sites, you're not going to necessarily, it's just going to say medium or large. And you're like,
I don't know what I am in that brand. I've never tried that thing on.
Yeah. And so we require measurements on NoiseHuff, which I think is very helpful. And we're launching this week a really, really amazing size filter. So you can search by all different sizes. And it's actually very complex, even though it sounds like, oh, of course you'd have a size filter.
Are you all the ones setting the price, or is the seller setting the price?
The seller is setting the price. But one thing that we don't allow on NoiseHuff is to set something above retail. We want...
It's not the grailed model.
No. Our philosophy with starting NoiseHuff, first and foremost, is about honoring, you know, the items and the brand and the story behind the item. And it's not about just making money and, you know, like a sneaker, you know, resale site. Like, you know, right now we're selling Boston Birkenstocks, you know, that are going for a lot, but we don't accept it over retail. We want to be fair.
Right, because Boston Birkenstocks are impossible to find right now because they're like the hot TikTok item.
I know. Isn't that funny?
I do think it's really funny. And everybody in my life who has owned them before this, who is also, if not 40 yet, about to be 40, is like, we are so cool. All the 18-year-old TikTok girlies want Boston clogs, and we have them, you guys. And I'm like, this is our moment.
Calm down. Delightful.
Tell us, what are your thingies?
Yes, thingies. I have a lot of thingies.
Please.
So it's hard to narrow down. My first thing was recently introduced to me by one of my good friends, and it's from a spa in San Francisco called Monastery that makes their own products. And I am hooked on their attar, the floral repair concentrate.
Oh, interesting. Tell us more.
It is a balm.
Okay.
And especially being in Minnesota and the changing of seasons, but it feels so good. And it's, I put on, especially now that I'm old enough and using more retinols that dry your skin out, like putting this over it was my last step. Just like sealing it in. And it smells really good. And I don't know. I totally notice a difference. I feel like my skin is not dry and flaky. I feel like it's sealing all my other products in. And
I think the sealing other products in is important. That has felt. Yes. I'm like, if I'm putting all this stuff on, I don't want it to just come right off on the pillow once I lay down.
And the packaging, gorgeous.
It is beautiful.
They also have a discovery kit, which I've used as a gift. And it's also very beautiful.
Great idea.
And I feel like it would make for a great Christmas gift.
I love this. Discovery Kit's only $32 and it's all their products. I really want
all their products. Yes.
I want to try their cleansing oil. I love
a cleansing oil. I have a cleansing oil as well.
You do? What's your cleansing oil?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
It's from here.
Oh, it's okay.
You know what I did? I think I got the Super Glow Moisture Kit.
Okay.
That feels like the right kit to get.
Yeah.
Super Glow Moisture. Actually, we're interested.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
And I love everything so far.
What else are you excited about?
Okay. So have you watched the Tippi Style Class?
Yes. Obviously.
Have you guys talked about this yet?
Okay.
Let's get into it.
Let's please get into it. We haven't talked about it enough. We're really into Amy Smilovic in general.
She's amazing.
Amazing. Really taken with how basically, even just reading an Instagram caption, right? It might be like two sentences. I never know where it's going to go. Like, I feel like it's a winding road in the best way. It's just full of surprises. It just is delightful. It is educational. It is charming. And it is like a little weird in a great way.
Yeah. It's totally unpolished, which is my jam. Like,
yes.
Yeah. Let's have these really awkward moments on camera. And, you know, she doesn't give a fuck.
Like, yeah.
No. She is just owning it. And she looks cool.
And she looks super cool.
Not to mention all like the weird little tricks she teaches you. Like I watched the push pin one the other day.
What's that?
She got these push pins off Amazon. They almost look like the, you know, the buttons that you like fix.
Yeah. Like they have just like a back.
Yes. And then but they have a flat head. So she was showing like how she was like pinning back like some of her clothes or like from behind and pinning out like her oversized clothes or like a sweater. And I was, this is
like stylist clips.
Yes. And I did styling work. So I was like, how have I never like used push pins as this? And I feel like I learned something from those every time. And I can use stuff already in my wardrobe, just like her little hacks and how she dresses it and layers. And she's got this really like quirky, funny way of explaining things. And yeah, she just, and it's someone to look up to. As someone who's turning 40 and she's like older woman, she's like confident, beautiful, like has great style.
I agree.
She's not just like 19 years old and you're like, well, sure, whatever. Like, sure, things look nice on you. I am not impressed. Mm-hmm.
I get anxiety sometimes because I'm just scrolling and I want to stop and read this novel that she's written or watch this long class that she's recorded. And I'm like, well, that's just not where I am right now. And I don't know. Do I screenshot this? Like, what do I do with this? And she's coming out with a book. And I'm so glad because I will 100% get it. But I'm not someone who will really watch like a long video on Instagram. And so I miss all the classes. And my feeling is that I want all of this to exist in its own separate home in the same way you have moved Noice off into its own separate home.
Our dream is that she has a like question and answer style podcast with Collins. This is our vision. Yeah.
I love this.
It's like Delilah, for style.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where this goes because it's obviously working for her and her brand.
I think so. Yeah.
I think it was started as like a pandemic, you know, the live thing. And now it's still kicking and going strong. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what that moves into for that brand.
What are some of the styling tips you've picked up from her that you apply to your own
getting dressed.
The push pin thing was really big. Yeah. The yes. other big thing that I took away from was she had like these, I think it was maybe a button up that was like really oversized, and she unbuttoned half of it and then wrapped the other half around her back and then buttoned it in the back.
Oh my God.
So it like, I know it wow. created this like, you know, you got more like structure, and it showed mm-hmm. us like, you know, the jean, the high-waisted right. jeans. And it's like, that is so simple and genius and cool. Like if I saw someone that on the street, where I'd be like, damn.
In
like,
general, she just has a way with button-down shirts of just making.
Yes, she does.
It's just like yes. realizing all the potential there that mm-hmm. I did not see previously.
Okay. I just bought my third one of these, and it's called a dick dick.
What?
Yeah, and it's not what you think it is. It's DIK-DIK, and it's from the brand Matek, M-A-T-K.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. That, like, long underwear, sort of like ski yes, wear so stuff. It's, yeah.
Yep, it's, like, kind of outdoor, but make it fashion. Mm-hmm. And they have this item called the Dick Dick, which is their take on the dicky, but make it fashion.
Yes.
And it is amazing. It's like a dicky, so it has like a tall neck that can cover your neck, but then it also has armholes. So it's like
almost
this futuristic scarf.
Oh, this is very chic.
And it's chic. And I wear it. I'm so excited when it's like dick dick season, because I wear it under my coat or even just like with a tighter long sleeves.
Oh, I like
and
that.
It's super cute. And I just got one of my employees one for Christmas. They just launched a fuchsia pink one, ooh, which is like my favorite color.
The pink is really good. Yeah.
Good work.
She uses all recycled fleece. She launches them pretty often, I think, you know, with new styles. So if you see a color you like, you should buy it. Once it's gone, it might be gone forever.
Noted.
I think this format is having a moment, because I was in a Mohawk General store in LA, the men's store, and there were various of this basic concept for guys. One by this brand, Nanamika, which is sort of like in that like cool Japanese Italian ski wear realm.
The other brand that does a more dressed up warmth dicky is Mijong Park. Does it?
Oh, yes.
Really good one, and comes in a bunch of colors, and the price is pretty good.
And it's like a knit. It's like a sweater situation.
It looks like you're wearing a turtleneck, but then you unbutton your coat and it's just
and you have
the top
a big reveal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now I feel like the style too is just wearing the dicky and, you know, a shirt. Like,
yes, it is.
That's cool, kid. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
It's true.
Love it.
Do you have another one for us?
Oh, I have lots.
Okay. Yes. Keep them coming.
This is a show.
Okay.
And it's my therapy. Now that I have a 10-year-old daughter, we are entering like tweendom, and it's a whole new world for me. And I'm in my third round of watching the show Better Things.
I've only watched an episode. I've never watched that much. Claire, you watched it.
I binged a bunch and then got like fell off, but I need to go back to it. It is so good.
I mean, your kids are young, right?
I just have one young, 3-year-old son.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just feel like I'm just in new territory becoming a mom
of like a tween.
Of a tween.
Yeah.
And it is alarming. And I just need a pep talk. And I feel like this is what that show gives me, like hope. Like,
okay, yes.
She's
yes.
got three girls, like,
she's a single
going
mom.
On.
Yeah.
She's a good mom. She's going through stuff. Like, and I watch it unfold, and I feel like if I'm having a bad day or like I'm feeling really overwhelmed being a mom, and I watch Better Things before bed, I'm okay. It's so well done. Even like a lot of it's filmed in her beautiful house, and then you've all like original art you'll notice on the walls, and just the set design, everything is just so well thought out. And the dynamic between her and her mother is also similar to my mom is from Germany, and just like, I don't know, there's just so many parallels with my life. I'm like, just need to watch a dose of Better Thing.
I love it.
Do you want more things?
Yeah, please. Keep them coming.
Okay, this is a near and dear friend of mine, Peter Wittrack, and he makes mobiles. And the website is mobiles-mobiles.com. He actually did a collab with Noisef a few months ago when we launched, and he hand cuts all of these beautiful colors and organic shapes and assembles them into mobiles, which he is now starting to ship, but he's doing a lot of custom work. And
the Noisef ones are so good.
His Instagram is really beautiful because he'll take videos where you can like see them. And we have a very large stairwell in our house. And so he built like this huge one. It just like, it's a statement, but it's so beautiful and elegant and simple. And he started off doing a lot of just tree shapes. So you could pick like what leaf you wanted. Colors. But now he is totally entering into all these different types of shapes and movement. And
I love the idea of these hanging from a ceiling permanent, like these big statement, just like art installation pieces, basically. I love this Klein Blue one sort of shown in a like an oak lined space. It's striking.
Super beautiful. Love
this
that.
This is so cool.
Okay, give us one more.
Okay, this is another neck warmer, I guess, but the Wool Cloud Scarf by Scarf Shop.
Oh.
Who, she is based in Minneapolis, actually. Martha McQuaid.
Oh, yeah, Martha McQuaid.
Yeah, she does. I love her socks as well. I own a lot of Scarf Shop socks, but her Wool Cloud Scarf.
Oh, yeah.
It's just my go-to, and I feel like it looks so chic over a big sweater, over even a coat, like layers.
I like this style of scarf
and
a
the
lot.
Colors are beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes. Love a raw edge and like love a scarf that basically can be a travel blanket too.
I'm going to spend so much money after this episode because I want this.
It's so good. I love that you've given us two neck warming devices. I think that's important. We're heading into the season. We have a good balm. Like,
you're also,
we have everything.
They're definitely going to renew your Minnesotan card. Like, they're going to let you be a Minnesotan for another year.
When you show up at the DMV, they're going to be like, okay, lady, yes.
Well, you're in. You're for in. One more year. You can stay in Duluth.
I don't take it lightly.
What's the weird marathon in Duluth?
Grandma's marathon?
Yeah.
Excuse me? Okay.
It's
I don't
a
know
good
if that's
one.
Your thingy. I don't know if
I
that's
thought
your
it
thingy,
might
but
be
I would
a thingy.
Like to hear. But I would like to hear about it regardless.
Yeah. Heck yeah. I'll play Grandma's marathon.
All right. Let's do
Let
it.
Let me just plug Minnesota for you in general.
Northern Minnesota. Be the tourism bureau for us. Yeah.
Okay. So Duluth is on Lake Superior, which is
which we can see out your window right now.
Which
it's
you can
kind
see
of
my window.
Wild. There's fully just beautiful crashing blue waves behind your head.
Yes. Yeah. There's legit white caps happening behind me. It's a lake that demands respect, but it really it really makes northern Minnesota. It's so beautiful. And Duluth is a hilly city. So we look up, you know, the lake is below, and a lot of us can see the lake from our houses on the hill. And Grandma's Marathon starts up the North Shore of Duluth, and it goes all along the lake to downtown Duluth. And it's a beautiful run because it's flat, actually, and it's scenic, and it brings in people from all over the world. It's just kind of like a cute, if you like travel races. My husband and I used to actually travel a lot before I had Helen to go to like random half marathons. And I think Duluth for sure is on the top of people's list. And now it's hard to get into.
Why is it called Grandma's Marathon?
So we have a restaurant that Duluth is known for called Grandma's. It's kind of like the big tourist place. And so when I think the marathon was formed to be, they were like original like corporate
sponsor. Okay. Yeah. It's really cool. No, I definitely hear about this marathon all the time. Like, it's one people just want to do. One, it's flat. Two, it's like, let's just go to Duluth, Minnesota and run a marathon. It's fun. You know, it's a novelty. Yeah.
Bob Dylan lived in Duluth. Maria Bamford.
Yes.
Van Lowe.
Duluth.
I
love it.
It's had a lot of big hitters come out.
Yeah.
Love it. Noisa.
Well, and now you.
Noisa. Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. A long line. Oh my gosh. Loved this. That's the show.
This has been a production of Dear Media, and we are so grateful to the talented team over there for helping us make this podcast happen, especially to our wonderful producer, Allie Slice. You can follow us on Instagram at @athingortwoHQ, and if you have ideas for our show or want to advertise, email podcast@athingortwoHQ.com. Find show notes and sign up for our newsletter at athingortwohq.com too. If you love the show, consider supporting it by signing up for a secret menu also at athingortwohq.com.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.